The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Friday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, A+, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay. Oh, what a great country this is. How great is the tournament? Jeffrey, good morning to you, sir. You good?
Whew.
It's awesome.
What a night sight that we got last night.
Let's just say first, Dr. Bob coming up on the show next segment. Dr. Bob with two games he wants to talk about. He had Providence. He had North Carolina. Bingo bango. I had Providence yesterday. Count it. Jeff, you, me, and Wes on the Megapod. All about fading the South Dakota State love. That worked out nicely. Got a little tight at the end, but that was Providence's game.
Well, getting that foul call at the end is only going to...
it's a beautiful thing.
Only going to continue the narrative.
It's only going to continue... That's exactly right. It's only going to continue the Providence's lucky narrative. We'll also have Jason Weingarten in studio once again today. He's coming up. And Vinny Maliulo and Paul Carr for some soccer... for some action junkies a little later on the show. We have to do our Survivor plays again. Yesterday, 3-0 on the Survivor plays. Came on the show yesterday and mapped out why I wanted to do Michigan, why I wanted to do North Carolina, and why I wanted to do Murray State. And then we skillfully avoided the South Dakota State road bump that occurred to that happened to a lot of other folks. So the biggest ones, now here's the thing. Let's just talk about yesterday before we get into all of this. From a Survivor perspective, the two most popular teams picked that bounced people were Iowa. Iowa was the big one. And, what was the other one? Now that I'm thinking about it, it was Iowa. And Iowa was certainly, well, let's talk about that. Speaking of refs, let's talk about that at the end. Iowa, Chris Murray has a chance to tie that game late against the Richmond Spiders in the last minute. And he gets hacked on a three. And it's a no call. Speaking about refs getting involved, how about refs not getting involved? And the Spiders pull off the first big upset of the day in a 12-5 game, 9.5-point dogs. They beat the Hawkeyes, the Big Ten Conference Tournament champs, who was a very sexy pick for a lot. A lot of people on CBS and ESPN selection shows had Iowa going to the Final Four. Nope, 67-63 Richmond. What do you think about the non-call there?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Even though they showed the replay a lot, it was a foul. I'm not going to argue that. It was a foul. But I don't know. The one thing I will say, other than, of course, the Murray State San Francisco game where at this point you're getting late into the night. You may get the ref show late in the night, and you, of course, got it in that game. I thought the refs actually called a lot less than we're used to seeing in these games, Gil. And I think that's probably why that wasn't called, even though probably was a foul, definitely was a foul. But I will say this. I don't feel bad for Iowa. They don't have themselves to blame. Fran McCaffrey coached a brutally bad game.
Brutality.
Because all he had to do was just keep getting the ball to Keegan Murray in the post, and Richmond had no answer. They didn't start doing that until they were down 7 late in the game.
Brutal. Then, of course, UConn, another sexy pick for a lot of folks. Another 12-5 game. What's the highest seed to never win a national title? Number 5 seeds have never won a national title historically. And UConn goes down. How far did you have UConn? They go down to New Mexico State, 12-5, another 12-5 game, 70-63. New Mexico State wins it outright as a 6.5-point dog, plus 240 on the money line. How far did you have UConn going in your bracket?
I only had them winning this game.
Yeah.
I had them losing to Arkansas in the next round. I did have a big bloated, like, 82-1 on UConn to win it all, which I guess there was a reason it was 82-1 there, Gil. But to the end, the UConn Huskies kind of showed exactly what they were all night last night. And the play at the end where they had a timeout and Cole was trapped, and instead of calling that last timeout, they turned it over into a three-point play for Allen the other way, who, by the way, was absolutely spectacular last night. The Nebraska transfer, who was the best player on the court in that game. And look, yeah, UConn, I said UConn and Arkansas would have been the idiot bowl if we had gotten it with the way those teams play, and UConn was too idiotic to even get to that game.
Here it is. So here, the most picked survivor plays were North Carolina, Michigan, two of the three that I had, South Dakota State. Remember, these are aggregate seeded things, so people went for South Dakota State. Number four was Iowa. So there you go.
North, talking about not sweating at all with North Carolina.
That
game was over 3 minutes in.
3 minutes in, and it just kept that way the whole way through. Biggest blowout, really, from the start of any game yesterday. And then, of course, there was the two biggest things happening. First of all, there was Gonzaga in a 116 game against Georgia State. Georgia State was nip and tuck with Gonzaga for 27 minutes of this game. With 13 minutes left in this basketball game, Georgia State was up a bucket. And in the final 13 minutes, not only did Gonzaga take the lead, but Gonzaga, a 22.5-point favorite, went up by 26. 26 points at the end. You're like, okay, how many texts were thrown around the country? Like, watch, they're going to cover. They go up 26. Georgia State hits a three. All of a sudden, the sports book comes alive because people are obviously betting on the point spread on this. It's a foul on the three. Missed the free throw. Gonzaga does not score. Georgia State comes down, gets fouled. Two free throws. Gonzaga just runs out the clock. And that's a 21-point margin. In the end, Georgia State does cover. Never in doubt.
I will say there was a big injury in that first half to Georgia State's best big guy.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get hurt, because Georgia State had horrible foul trouble on top of that, I'm not saying Georgia State would have won the game, but this would not have ended up being a quote-unquote laugher like this ended up being.
But, you know, I said to Wes Reynolds, so we were on Primetime Action last night, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and I. Wes Reynolds joined us last night. He's going to join us again today. And then, of course, the biggest outcome of the day yesterday, from a historical standpoint, from a bracket-busting standpoint, from a futures standpoint, futures-busting, if you will, number 15, St. Peter's, knocks off number 2, Kentucky, in the East region, 85-79. And I said, as this was unfolding during this game, because I was saying, oh, Gonzaga couldn't shake Georgia State for 27 minutes, Kentucky can't shake St. Peter's. And I said to Wes, I go, Wes, let me just ask you a serious question. Is any team in college basketball any good? Because this is what we're seeing. Gonzaga and Kentucky, I mean, who was as highly considered as those two teams? Arizona, probably, the only other answer to that question. But St. Peter's takes down Kentucky in overtime, 85-79, as 18.5-point dogs, 18-1 on the money line. And if I asked you before this tournament, Jeff, I was like, what's the single most unlikely outright win of day one? You might have said St. Peter's over Kentucky. St. Peter's wasn't even supposed to win their conference tournament. That was supposed to be the Iona Gaels. Ryder upset them. St. Peter's gets here. We had some people on our air, guests, not hosts, guests, say they thought St. Peter's might be the worst team in the entire field.
Oh, I think that was a little aggressive from them. They were very bad offensively this year. That's why the way this happened was so shocking. We knew St. Peter's was great defensively. They're top 25 defense, KenPom, for most of the year. But, Gil, the big story of this game, forget that Kentucky lost. This is a lasting stain on Calipari. Yeah. Because Calipari got so horribly outcoached in that game by Shaheen Holloway, who, by the way, seems to be in line for the Seton Hall job if Lillard takes Maryland.
Where he played college basketball.
Correct, and obviously had a big shot to get Seton Hall to a Sweet 16 about 20 years ago now.
But Adam Stanko reminds us that Shaheen Holloway was the MVP over Kobe Bryant in a McDonald's All-American game back in 1996.
Yep, but Gil, this was... But this was the worst in-game coaching performance by a guy. Look, I thought I'm pro John Calipari as a coach. Usually, I know he gets hammered by people. Oh, he's only can recruit. I've always thought that he's a much better coach than he's gotten credit for. Last night, that was on him. That Kentucky, where Shibley goes for 30 and 20. And they still lose to a 15 seed in overtime, no less.
Well, didn't help that they were 1 of 6 in overtime at the stripe.
It didn't help things.
No, including 2 bricks by an 81.1% free throw shooter. So that obviously is a major assist, and obviously Coach Cal can't be blamed for that. But you're right. It's Kentucky's, let's put it this way, on the heels of their most disappointing season last year, their most infamous loss of all time last night.
Oh, not even close. And also, too, Gil, I don't think a lot of people nationally will understand just the sheer absurdity of St. Peter's, who, Gil, the campus is in Jersey City. The campus is about a block and a half. They play in a gym that is smaller, that is the same size as my high school gym.
It's amazing.
And they are beating Kentucky in the NCAA tournament.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
This is what this tournament is all about. This is why we love it. St. Peter's becomes the St. Peter's Peacocks become the 10th 15 seed in the history of the tournament since they went to 64 teams to beat a number 2 seed. The 10th. That's it. Remember, only one number 16, obviously the UMBC win over Virginia, but only the 10th number 15 to ever beat a number 2. And remember, going into the season in terms of 15s beating 2s, that record, and I'll give it to you the exact number straight up, 15s over 2s going into this was 9-135. What an unbelievable outcome. But that is why we love this tournament. Survivor plays of the day. Hopefully everybody wrote what we played yesterday. Coming up, Dr. Bob. He's got some stuff to talk about. He's got 2 games he really wants to dive into. That's next, right here in a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Over 17 million bracket entries over there at ESPN. 161 remain perfect heading into tomorrow.
How is it that many?
161 people had St. Peter's knocking off Kentucky, not to mention UConn getting upset, Iowa getting upset, so on and so forth. But 161 people having St. Peter's, I would have gone under on that for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, he had a dentist appointment yesterday, as we said on air. Couldn't make it. No dentist appointment today. From somewhere outside of Denver, Colorado, it's Dr. Bob Stoll at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com. A pioneer in predicting sports through the use of predictive algorithms. Good morning to you, Bob. How you doing?
Doing all right. I need to get 5 teeth pulled, I found out, but so that's the bad news.
5. Now, Bob.
Yeah, I never had my wisdom teeth out, and because I have a big mouth, so I never needed to pull them out. But they're like, no, they aren't looking too good. You have some cavities below the gums, and we can't work on that. We have to pull them out. I'm like, oh, my God.
Now, hold on, Bob. I'm no student of orthodontia. I am no Mr. Goodwrench of the mouth. But the number 5 concerns me. Why not an even number? What's going on with the 5th tooth?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, one of them, I guess there's a cavity on the 3rd one in or the 2nd one in. So it's both of the far ends, both bar 2 on each side, and there's one other one that has a cavity that's below the gum line or something like that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. We're not doing all this all at once, I'll tell you that.
Boys and girls, floss. Let this be a public service announcement.
Yeah,
but really what it is you do, if you do have your wisdom teeth in really long in life, late into life, as a sort of preemptive measure, you should have them removed because you can develop problems back there. That's the real
apparently I ignored that advice earlier in my life.
Oh, Bob. All right, but here's what you did with your 5 teeth. I wonder if some of your wisdom will go away once the teeth are removed. But right now, you are wise. You had Providence. You had North Carolina. What are you looking at today?
Yeah, that was it. 2-0 on the best bets yesterday. I have 3 today. I'll give you 2 of them. First one's Wisconsin over Colgate. Colgate's a hot team, and people, it's kind of similar to South Dakota State yesterday, where I went against South Dakota State with Providence. South Dakota State was the number 1 3-point shooting team in the nation, and they were on some ridiculous winning streak, 19 games or 20 games, something like that. And people just get caught up in the underdog. Mm-hmm. I mean, Providence plays in the Big East. Yeah, they weren't as good as their record, but a 2-point favorite? I mean, give me a break. It's just ridiculous line. But anyway, that was yesterday. Today it's Wisconsin against Colgate. Very similar thing. Colgate's the number 2 3-point shooting team in the country, 40.2%. But I just don't see, and they won 15 games in a row, but aside from their conference, the Patriot League's horrible. In Division I teams outside of the Patriot League, the Colgate Raiders were just 3-9 straight up. And not all those teams were great teams. They did have a 15-point win at Syracuse, but were just 1-8 straight up against the other non-conference teams ranked in the top 250 in the nation. This is not a team, not a plucky underdog that, you know, is likely to rise up here. They've just played a terrible schedule all year long, and when they did face decent teams, not great teams, just decent teams, they usually lost by a pretty good margin. Then you get Wisconsin. They entered the tournament on a 2-game losing streak. They lost the game to Nebraska when Johnny Davis got hurt, when he hurt his ankle. And the next game, Davis didn't look quite right, and he had a bad game, and they lost again. They got upset in the Big Ten tournament. It's been 2 weeks since Davis twisted his ankle. He should be fine, and he did play on it, a week ago. So he should be back to, you know, 100% or close to 100%, and he's one of the best players in the nation. And also, teams, those losses should motivate Wisconsin not to look past this game. And also, you just look at Colgate. Well, they won 15 games. Well, that's all the coach needs to say is, like, this is a good team that's won 15 games in a row, even though they're not really a good team. But that should be enough to motivate them. And I do have an angle. I don't play games on angles. I actually playing this game because of the line value. I favor Wisconsin by 11.7 points.
Ooh.
Then more than enough line value to play them. But it's also interesting to note that teams seeded number three or better, so we're talking about elite teams that are coming off an upset loss as a 3-point favorite or more in their conference tournament, they're 30-10 against the spread, laying 14 or less the last 30 years in the NCAA tournament. So that's sort of a side note there. The reason I'm playing it is because Colgate's overrated, Wisconsin maybe underrated, but anyway, there's line value on Wisconsin, and I'll lay up to 8 or less at their best bet.
Yeah, Colgate also, again, you know, we have from Selection Sunday till Thursday and Friday, we have 4-5 days to just talk. We have days to just talk about this with all kinds of people. And South Dakota State absolutely was the single sexiest play. Everybody was, oh, Providence has been the most fortunate team in college basketball per Ken Pom. South Dakota State all has all the giant killer characteristics. This one, I would rank as maybe, what would you say, Jeff, the third or fourth sexiest pick, Colgate, somewhere in that top five.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to bet Wisconsin because I don't like them, but I'm with Bob. I don't see the Colgate love here. I don't see it.
We like the reasoning, Bob. What's number two?
Yeah, well, if I would have been on yesterday, I would have given you Providence over South Dakota State. Yeah. So, and they were not. Yeah, they might be an official giant killer in that, but the matchup metrics that I look at had Providence with a matchup edge, so they didn't. So South Dakota State did not necessarily have all of the characteristics of a good NCAA tournament underdog.
Even though
a lot of people thought they did.
I will say we were all over the country. We were all over Providence on this show. Me, Jeff, and Wes Reynolds, who was on the podcast too. We were just not buying into it for a lot of the reasons that you were saying as well. So you were willing to give one more here. What do you got?
Yeah. This one is another good team beating up on a bad team, another Big Ten team, actually. I took Purdue, and this is my favorite play of the day. What is Yale going to do here? I mean, they're completely overmatched. Their tallest player is 6'8", 220 pounds. Purdue has two star players. Trevion Williams comes off the bench, and he's their best player. And Zach Edey, these guys are 6'10", and 7'4". Yale's biggest guy is 6'8". Now, that would not be an issue if Yale could shoot. But the Bulldogs only make 32.9% of their three-point shots. How are they going to make up for the interior mismatch? I have no idea. Now, they have played some good teams, so maybe we can look at that. Maybe they were plucky underdogs against these better teams. They played three NCAA tournament quality teams this year. They lost by 36 to Seton Hall. They lost by 22 to Auburn, not bad, but they didn't cover the spread, and lost by 27 points to St. Mary's. So three games against legit teams, they got blasted. The other two teams, good teams, not NCAA tournament quality teams necessarily, not at large quality teams, the other two good teams they faced were Vermont and Iona. They lost those games by an average of 11 points. Overall, the five best teams they played this year were those five teams. They're 0-5 against the number. This team just cannot match up against a physically better team. And my ratings beyond that, that's a matchup edge. But beyond that, I favor Purdue by 19.5 points. So 15.5 I'll lay. And I laid 15.5. It's up to 16.5. Maybe I will lay up to 17 here with Purdue.
Wow. No compunction laying the wood there. And Jeff, once again, getting back to the mega.
Similar yesterday, I had an opinion on Tennessee over Longwood for similar reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee won by 32. I mean, it's kind of a similar setup, except there's more line value on Purdue here than there was on Tennessee yesterday. So,
Jeff, you and Wes,
I don't mind laying the points in these cases.
On the Megapod, you guys said pretty much the exact same thing, with Wes saying this should have been Princeton's spot in the Ivy League. Would you agree with that,
Bob?
Go ahead, Jeff. Yeah.
Princeton was a regular season champ. Princeton in a semifinal, because they do an Ivy tournament, really had a lot taken out of them in the close game against Cornell and just didn't have a lot in the tank for the Ivy championship. That's why Yale got them. I 100% agree with what Dr. Bob has said, this one, for sure. It is a big number, But don't be scared. That advantage inside is just so ridiculous in favor of the Boilermakers. And Purdue really does smash horrible teams, too.
Bob, you would you agree with the – well, your first sentence was, what's Yale going to do? I don't often hear you start.
Are they going to do?
Yeah.
Normally, like a Princeton team, think of the old Princeton teams, the backdoor cut. Yale will do a little bit of that.
Pete Carril.
The backdoor cuts on stuff. They don't have – but they could shoot. The Ivy League teams that have done well in the tournament could shoot the ball. Remember, there's that Cornell team – I don't know, maybe 10 years ago that got to the Sweet 16, but they were a 40% three-point shooting team. This team is 32.9% from three. There's nothing that they can do offensively that can combat what the mismatch inside. Normally, I don't mind if a team can shoot 40% threes, then okay. They're just going to shoot from three-point range, and it doesn't matter what the size is. But in this case, what are they going to do? I just don't know how they're going to score.
Bob, we appreciate it. I remember those Princeton teams fondly, by the way. Played a little rec league against George Leftwich once upon a time. You may remember him from days of yore at Princeton, D.C. kid. Thank you, Bob. Get those teeth fixed, man.
Oh, God. I'm going to wait for a little bit, but yes, I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, the great Dr. Bob at Dr. Bob Sports on the Twitter machine. Survivor thoughts next. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wendy's and Adult Swim's Rick and Morty are teaming up to invite Las Vegas locals and basketball fans to get schwifty at the first ever Morty's Mayhem pop-up. Located at Resort World's East Garden Plaza, the immersive experience brings the show off the screen and onto the strip with never-before-seen animations of Wendy's breakfast characters in the Rick and Morty universe and the return of the elusive Pickle Rick Pickle Frosty. Boom! Big reveal! While in the alternate universe, fans can also play a life-size game of Plinko. There you go. Score exclusive swag and try items from Wendy's delicious menu lineup. Check out Wendy's Morty's Mayhem at Resorts World right here in Las Vegas. And look who just walked in, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, for the second day in a row on the show, in studio, the great Jason Weingart. How you doing, man?
Hi, Mom. Hello.
Hi, Mom. Is Mom watching today? What do you think?
I think so.
Is she?
She watches all my stuff. Oh. She's my biggest fan.
Oh, she should be. Hello, Mrs. Weingarten. How are you? What do you know about Pickle Rick Pickle Frosty? You all about that?
I did not know there was a Pickle Frosty, but I know Rick and Morty, a big fan.
That was a big episode you were talking about?
Yeah, I'll send you some clips. It's a very funny show.
Wait, he turned himself into a pickle to what? To avoid?
To avoid going to therapy with his family. It's a great plot line.
That sounds like a show you should watch sober.
Yes, at 11:30 on Sunday nights.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, man. Did you make any more bets yesterday?
I did. I did some basketball. We were at Circa from, I think, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. yesterday.
Did you get your $6,000 worth of chicken fingers in?
We got, we had to just order food there. I got plates of nachos and a breakfast platter, and it was like, all right, got to order more food, got to order more drinks.
You guys put it all together at the end. You're like, okay, we're at $175. I can't eat another.
Oh, yeah. We didn't come close to the food, but, we... They put a lot of volume in play, so it was all right.
There you go.
They'll give us a table again this weekend.
No club last night? Didn't quite get there? No.
Fell asleep. I'm old. I'm tired.
There you go, Mom. No club for Jason last night. So much, and we're trying to get to our Survivor thoughts, too. But the NFL refusing to let college basketball have its moment. On Sunday during the selection show, Tom Brady unretires. So literally, like on the ESPN show, they have to cut away and interview Adam Schefter in the middle of their whole pre-planned two-hour selection extravaganza. And last night, we're doing primetime action. Wes Reynolds is on. We're watching all the March Madness games. And there it comes across the screen that Devontae Adams traded from the Green Bay Packers to the Las Vegas Raiders for the Raiders' first and second round draft picks this year. So the first NFL draft that is going to take place in Las Vegas, the Raiders will not have a first round pick. I think they'll take that trade happily. They'll take Devontae Adams. But I want to throw this out to both of you guys because first of all, Jeff, let me tell this story again about what goes on here after this show. So there's a guy, we do this show from the South Point. There's a guy, Jason, who... I don't know him, but he's friendly, right? He's a very friendly guy.
He'll talk to us every few weeks.
Super friendly guy, right? He'll show up every... And, I don't know him, so I don't know whether to believe what he says or not. But the morning that Aaron Rodgers signed the extension, he does a drive-by, if you will, outside of the studio with us, and he says, Yeah, well, it's session. And then as he's walking away, sort of in Columbo, hey, one more thing style, he goes, oh, by the way, Russell Wilson, Broncos, look out for it later. And we're like, okay, yeah, whatever. No big deal. Oh, and prior to saying that, he mentions, because he's a friend of, he goes, he's a friend of Derek Carr. He goes, by the way, I was having lunch with Devontae yesterday. I'm like, Devontae? Devontae Swing from Jodeci? No, Devontae Adams of the Packers. I was like, what do you mean? Was he in town? He goes, oh, yeah, we were just having lunch yesterday. Devontae Adams and Derek Carr, as everybody is saying, of course, played in college together. So both of those comments, Devontae having lunch with Devontae and, oh, Russell Wilson's going to the Broncos. Jeff, would you say we gave it 1.5 seconds worth of thought?
The Russell Wilson one, we didn't give much thought to either of it at the time because, of course.
But here's how stupid I am. I asked the follow-up about Devontae. Yeah. I was like, oh, was he in town? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, oh.
Well, and then a day and a half later, he bought the giant house for
Mark Meltzer, our buddy. Yeah. Meltzer like Seltzer, right, Jason? He was tweeting about that.
He was tweeting about it.
He's looking for a house here in town.
It totally went over my head, too. I thought maybe he was just looking for a off-season house.
Yeah.
Didn't occur to me that a trade could be in the works. I thought if Aaron Rodgers was coming back, he was only coming back with Devontae Adams. But, you know, it made that whole Last Dance thing that they were all posting this last year more... You know, makes more sense now. I don't think Devontae was ever planning on coming back this year. It's starting to sound like he's over Green Bay and just wanted to go somewhere else.
Because the reports were twofold, right? The reports were, one, when Aaron Rodgers signs his extension with the Packers, he knew that Devontae was unhappy with getting the franchise tag, and that Devontae was out of there. That's the report. Are we to believe that the Packers? I mean, what else would the Packers tell us? I don't know. And then the other thing was, the other report was that Devontae got the exact same offer that the Raiders gave him, money-wise, $28.5 million a year, highest wide receiver salary in the history of the National Football League. Same exact thing for the Packers. All things being equal, literally, he was like, yeah, I'd rather go not play with Aaron Rodgers anymore. And then it also calls into question the whole thing of, you know, Tom Brady used to defer salary to make sure he had good players around him. Aaron Rodgers not willing to do that? Or had Devontae made up his mind already? The real question becomes, how is this bettable? Is this bettable? The AFC West, and we have a tweet about this, if we could throw this up, but the AFC West becomes the most ridiculous division ever. And does it mean you want to bet the Raiders to win a division because they got Devontae Adams? Probably not. Chiefs and Chargers still in there, let alone the Broncos. But does it make you want to bet the Vikings now to win the NFC North?
Me? I already bet the Vikings to win the conference and the Super Bowl.
Oh, you did?
On the event.
Oh, you did.
In the event that Aaron Rodgers retired, I didn't think Devontae would go anywhere, but
yeah.
I bet that. You
so
know,
you're just, already locked in then.
But you were saying, how would you bet the Raiders? If I was going to front run it yesterday, I would have bet a AFC conference future as opposed to picking off a Super Bowl number because I'd rather just try to get them into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But when the division numbers come out, I'd look to fade the Chargers, the Chiefs the most, just because every team in the division has gotten better and the Chiefs have, you know, played, you know, long postseasons multiple years in a row. They have, you know, but deficiencies on the offensive line and defensive line that need to be fixed. And it's just the cycle of the NFL is that good teams, you know, decline and bad teams get better. I think the Raiders are definitely live for the division now with Devontae.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable how your fortunes could change overnight like that. Not that they weren't live before, but.
Great tweet from Michael Sean Duggar, who covers the Seahawks for The Athletic. Putting this all in context, he said, Russell Wilson left the toughest division in football and joined the toughest division in the history of football, as it turns out, this after the Devontae Adams trade.
Yeah, you get no relief from any of those defensive lines in the league. Frank Clark and what's his name?
Now
Khalil Mack
with J.C. Jackson in the secondary for the Chargers.
Every week you're just going to get, you know, beat up.
Let's play a hypothetical prop game. If I set the total number of wins in the AFC West at 42.5, would you go over and under? No division in football got within a few games of 42.5 last year.
I mean, you're asking all four teams to win 10 or someone to win 13. Oh, boy. I'd still go under. So, look, this is the one thing, Gil.
I said it last night on primetime. They were like, over, all of them. No, like, here's
the problem. Someone's got to lose the division games.
They got to play each other. I believe they do play the AFC South, though.
Well, that's the big kicker, which, by the way, the AFC South goes back to being the doldrums again all of a sudden, with the AFC North and AFC West looking pretty strong and Buffalo looking like a complete force in the AFC East.
All right, here's some more hypothetical props. How many games into the season before Aaron Rodgers visibly looks frustrated on a football field? If I said it at a game and a half.
Under. If you'd made it a half, I would have made it under.
Under. How many games, okay, hypothetical prop. How many games into the football season before Devontae Adams looks frustrated, visibly frustrated on a football field and realizes, oh, Aaron Rodgers is not throwing the ball to me anymore?
I think he's going to love the Raiders.
You do?
He's playing with his college quarterback.
He is.
That's half the reason, or probably a big reason why he said he's always wanted to play with Derek Carr again.
I'll still say 3.5.
I mean, I'm 100% in agreement with Jason. I think he's,
I won't say 1.5. I'll
again.
Say 3.5.
I'll but go with, over. Yeah. But I think also, too, and I forget who made this point on Twitter as well last night. Can you imagine going from playing your whole career in Green Bay to now playing here?
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Wow. Weather-wise, you know, indoors, don't have to worry about it. And Vegas is a little different from the Green
Bay. What'll be interesting to see is what Green Bay does with the picks they just acquired, because now they have 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks. That's a lot of talent they could put around Aaron Rodgers.
If there's a prop that says, will Green Bay draft a wide receiver with their first-round pick, what's the yes on that?
Probably like -250. I mean, you could get kind of screwed if they draft like a hybrid tight end or some sort of, you know, weapon sort of player. But I haven't seen any guys like that I think have a...
Because the wideouts in free agency are like almost gone now.
Yeah.
With Allen Robinson going to the Rams now, there are very few left out there.
That was a good move, by the way. I love that.
Yes. Gotta imagine Chris Olave probably looked pretty good in green and gold.
Yes, he would. I like Olave better than everybody, but that might just be me. We'll come back. I want to talk about Deshaun Watson and Paul Carr with some soccer picks for us next.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The second round of BetMGM's March matchups will be underway soon, and here's a chance for every college basketball fan to bet the board. Simply register using bonus code MM160 and place a $20 wager on any game in the second round of the tournament. You'll receive $160 in free bets that you can use for the rest of the day's tournament action. That's a $20 free bet for each of the 8 games, enough to keep you on the edge of your seat all day and all night. Log into your BetMGM account or sign up before round 2 and place a single $20 wager to receive $160 to bet the board with, only at the King of Sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older. Wager. All promotions and subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offers not available in the state of Nevada. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here. Jason Weingarten, Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. That's where you can find him on Twitter. The host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. Kind enough to join us in the studio once again today. The other NFL thing that went down yesterday didn't go down, but the Deshaun Watson potential destinations dwindles by one more team. We learned early yesterday that the Browns had been eliminated from the sweepstakes. We also learned that Baker Mayfield and the Browns apparently have broken up for good. And then we found out that really what a lot of people thought was the front runner to land Deshaun Watson, the Carolina Panthers, were eliminated from the sweepstakes. So it's basically the Falcons versus the Saints at this point, and it really feels like, if you're reading the tea leaves, that it's the Falcons. And if that's the case, does that make you want to bet the Falcons in any possible way?
No, for one.
Because the cupboard is bare,
man. That feels a lot like Houston 2 years ago, where it was Deshaun was amazing, and the Texans went 4-12.
Would you take a flyer on the Falcons in any way?
No, just because I'm not sure that there's not potentially another team that could still get involved. Like, think Seattle is a landing spot. They're committed to Drew Locke long-term, you know.
Rumored spot for Baker Mayfield, Seattle now, too.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
There were a couple other teams I was thinking get involved. The Eagles have been linked to him before.
I think he already said
he didn't want to play for them. And yeah. Jalen Hurts, maybe they're going to stick with him. And then Jacksonville's out because they got Trevor Lawrence. I don't think they're going to move on from him in 1 year. But I still get the feeling that there could be another team out there that says, hey, we have a chance to acquire a franchise quarterback. Let's do it.
I said this earlier about...
they don't grow on trees.
Yeah, but it's like if he ends up with the Falcons, doesn't it bring like this whole Deshaun Watson thing? Like it ends with a murmur? Like it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like who cares? The more fun part will be... Who gets to take Matt Ryan's contract?
That's the more fun part
of it if Watson goes to Atlanta.
I asked Wes Reynolds last night, who's an Indianapolis Colts fan. I'm like, all right, here are your choices, Wes. A, Jimmy G. B, Baker Mayfield. C, Matt Ryan. And I can't even remember his answer. I think it was Baker Mayfield.
I'd probably go Matt Ryan.
It wasn't Matt Ryan, though, that's for sure.
I think I'm with Jason. I think I'd go with Matt Ryan.
He gets no respect. Gets no respect.
Well, and more importantly, you're only like that's clearly if he's terrible for 1 year, he's gone. He's off the books after this year.
Any one of those three quarterbacks, though, makes them an interesting team. Any one of them, Jimmy G, Baker Mayfield, or Matt Ryan.
I'd rather just have Ryan based off the experience.
Yeah.
Long term, if they wanted to like bring someone back, Garoppolo, I think, would be the best of the three. But
let's bring in Paul Carr from the Expected Value Podcast, True Media Networks. How you doing, Paul?
I'm well. It's snowing in Kansas. We've got tournaments everywhere. It's going to be a good sports weekend.
You're feeling good about Kansas, the Jayhawks in this tournament.
I mean, I'm not a college basketball expert. I've watched very few games that are not Kansas games this year, but I've watched most of theirs. Remy Martin, in good form, I mean, he was hurt a lot of the years, the preseason Big 12 player of the year, but he really hadn't been a big contributor until the last few weeks. He reminds me a little of Sharon Collins in 2008, where even if he's not starting, he's, as Bill Self calls him, the Energizer Bunny, and he brings something to this team as an engine that makes the team go that other guys don't. So, like, KU's looked better the last 2 weeks than they have all year with him playing well. So, I'm just saying.
Loved him at Arizona State. You went down with Kentucky yesterday?
Yeah, I had them in the final like you did, so.
Yeah, I did in my bracket. Yeah.
Not doomed, of course.
I don't care about my bracket, though.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I did play a future on Kentucky right before the tournament at 8-1, along with one on Arizona, but that went by the wayside as well. All right, so there's a few things going on in soccer. Let's start with the Champions League draw. Were there any shenanigans?
It was orchestrated well, I would say. Like, there are no, other than Chelsea and Real Madrid, you know, I guess the three big favorites here were Liverpool, City, and Bayern Munich, and none of them play each other in the quarterfinals. So that works out nicely. There's the potential for a Liverpool-Bayern Munich semifinal, which would be great. Man City is playing Atletico, which is juicy just because Atletico messes everything up and Man City plays, you know, the beautiful game in possession. So that'll be a contrast of styles that'll be fun to watch. So yeah, it have a lot of really good matchups for the quarterfinals and looming in the semifinals.
All right. Again, for those who want some action beyond beyond college basketball, beyond the tennis pick that we'll give later here on the show, a couple other things going on in the beautiful game of soccer. One is El Clasico. Explain to people. By the way, this is all at ESPN.com on El Clasico and on the FA Cup, which we'll get to momentarily. But tell people what that game is.
Yeah, El Clasico is Real Madrid-Barcelona. It's one of the biggest games on the planet in any sport. It maybe lost a little bit of luster because there's no Messi, there's no Ronaldo there anymore, but it's still one of the biggest games on any soccer schedule for a year, and it's happening in Real Madrid on Sunday.
And you have a play on this at all?
I do. I don't have a great feel for what's going to happen in the game as far as outcome. You know, I'm not playing the goal line or the money line, but this is kind of a weird spot. Real Madrid's up 15 points on Barcelona in the league. And so in some ways it's not super important. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, one of those tight, cagey games where each team's afraid to drop points and a draw is okay. I think it's going to open up. And so I think what that means is we're going to get goals one way or the other. So I played the over 2.5 at -150, and I played both teams to score at -170. Obviously you're paying the juice, but these games, the last four have all had at least three goals and both teams have scored. Barcelona's was really struggling the first half of the year offensively. They put up 20 goals in their last seven games. Real Madrid has been kind of in cruise control lately, but still putting up goals. Even if Karim Benzema doesn't go for Real Madrid, I think there's going to be some goals in this one. I don't know what's going to happen from an outcome standpoint. I feel like it's wide open, but I think there's going to be goals regardless.
All right. FA Cup, which you and I have talked about in previous years. And again, this is where the American sports fan like is like, okay, what is this now?
which tournament is this?
There's a Premier League, there's a Champions League, which happens like in season. What's the FA Cup? What is the FA Cup?
Yeah, this is the oldest organized competition in soccer. It's been going on since 1870, I think it is, ish. And it's a giant knockout tournament with over 700 clubs from across England. You know, you have a YMCA team that meets whatever qualifications and pays the entry fee, and you can get in at the very bottom level of this. And then the Premier League teams and such come in later, you know, in the, I forget, third, fourth round or so. So we're at the quarterfinals now, so you got six Premier League teams and two Championship, which is the second division, teams left in this. The Premier League teams almost always win, as you would expect, but there's always some giant upsets. It's sort of a season-long NCAA tournament if you counted every single Division I team and put them in one giant bracket.
All right, you have two plays here.
Two plays, yeah. I'm taking Chelsea to cover a goal and a half at Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough upset Tottenham in the round of 16. And it's kind of one of the no-brainer picks. I mean, Chelsea has, I think it's 2 1-goal wins in the last two FA Cup games, but the underlying numbers are ridiculous. You know, they've outshot opponents like 27-8 over those two games, even though they're winning by one goal, more than two expected goals, more than opponents. So I like Chelsea in this one. I'm not overthinking it. I'm kind of surprised to get plus money, +135 on laying a goal and a half. I think of it this way. If they were playing at a relegation threatened Premier League team, the price wouldn't be that good because, you know, to lay a goal and a half, it probably be even money at best. And they're playing Middlesbrough, who's a top half Championship team, but you know their caliber isn't that much different. So I like getting plus money, laying a goal and a half, Chelsea at Middlesbrough.
All right. We appreciate it, Paul. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Paul Carr, the great Paul Carr at C-A-R, at Paul C-A-R-R on Twitter with some soccer action for you. All right. Here's your choice, boys. Jason Weingarten, Jeff Parlay in studio. These numbers are all available. Raiders to win the AFC West, 9-1. That on the heels of the Davante Adams trade. Falcons, who appear to be the front runner to get Deshaun Watson now, to win the NFC South, 9-1 as well. Or the Vikings +325 with the absence of Davante Adams in Green Bay to win the NFC North. What is your favorite bet of those three?
Can I give you none of the above?
I go Vikings.
Vikings +325.
I think the Packers are, everyone assumes that Aaron Rodgers is just going to come back and have a happy ending, but more often than not, players come back and think they'll have happy endings, and kind of just end up being peeled off the turf at the end of the season. So
I would say it's by far the Vikings at plus 325.
I just really like Kevin O'Connell, the new head coach from the Rams. I think he's, you know, when you already have the Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Kirk Cousins, and he worked with Kirk Cousins in Washington, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you bring in a coach like that, and they already have a defense, and they're already, you know, they won 8-9 games last year. I think they won 8 games. You know, you just go and build an offense, and it would be a good team.
Could be. Yeah, it's just, even with the acquisition of Devontae in Las Vegas, and even with Deshaun perhaps being on the doorstep of being a Falcon, it doesn't make me want to rush and make bets on it. Coming back, Survivor plays next. Vinny Maliulo will join us too. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.